And then there, thank you, sister. And then there are relationships that, yeah. And I think we know those relationships. But we've got to come to a place where we stop being so wimpish. Can I use that word? We, you know what? We want everybody to like us. Look this way and smile. We do. I don't care how much we sit up and try to be all tough. I don't care who don't. Yes, you do. That's why you buy people gifts on occasion. You want folk to like you. That's why you lie and say that's a nice dress and you know it's ugly because you want folk to like you. We all want acceptance to a certain degree. But God says, I understand that being in your human nature. But when I have a problem with it is when you cross the line and you do that which is not pleasing to me to be accepted by man. I want to just teach a little bit about church folk this morning. Can I do that? Y'all going to be with me back there, Shirley and Mike? All right. I'm going to teach on church folk this morning. I'm going to show you how they can do, because I believe some of these people were church folk. We're going to Matthew 10:46. It's talking about Jesus and his disciples and some other folk that follow him. How many of you know that when God is using you, you ain't got no problem with getting people to follow you? Can I just be as bold enough to say that when I first started? Mark 10:46. When I first started, I couldn't get nobody to help me to do nothing. Now, on any given day, I can pick the phone up and call 100 people to go fly with me anywhere. But see, it wasn't God's plan. Sometimes we think we need a lot of people. Yes, we do. But I've learned something about our human nature. God can work better with us and in us and through us sometime when we go through a period of separation. I know you don't want to hear that this morning. Oh, God will give you friends. He'll send them. But it's necessary to go into that wilderness experience. And that's why some of you are frustrated, because you're not fulfilling your destiny. You're into a whole lot of religious activity without purpose, without direction, without focus. See, I can preach boldly about these things because I've been there many times. Just going through a whole lot of religious garbo, going to church, preaching, traveling, offering this, that, and the other. Just going through all of the motions. But there must be purpose. There must be singleness of mind. As I said, they were going through Jericho, 10:46, Mark 10:46. It says, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him that he should be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. Verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, when I first read this and I was studying this week, God just showed me some things in each verse that I want to bring out again that I brought out in the 8 o'clock service. And one of the things that really fascinated me was that God began to show me how this thing applies to right where we are now. And how many of you know it's good to read the word, but if you can't bring it and fit it right into your today and glean, see, the word of God is really useless if you can't bring it and apply it to where you are. See, people get excited about how people expound, but what can I do with that? What is that saying to me? What does it mean to me personally? How can that help me? Isn't that the final answer, you know, the final question? And so we want to go through these verses, and I want to talk about a few things in here, and then we're going to close. Amen? In verse 46, it talks about how him and his disciples and a great number of people went, and it says that Bartimaeus sat by the highway. He was begging. He was in a helpless situation, wasn't he? Now, certainly as Christians, we wouldn't say, well, that's on him. He was blind, would we? Oh, I'm trying to say something here. We would be compassionate enough to understand that this man doesn't have his sight. So it would be easier for us to accept the fact that he can beg because he's blind, as opposed to if he could see, then the brother should get a job. Can I just talk plain? But we can understand his dilemma because he had an affliction that brought about infirmity in him that caused him to have to be in a position to have others to help him. Now, how does that relate to us today? I believe that even in the body of Christ, there's a lot of people by the wayside begging. And they're not begging because they are physically blind. Oh, well, this ain't a shout message, but my husband's down there, so he gonna shout. Shout, honey. But anyway, I believe that a lot of Christians are blinded to what benefits we received when Jesus was crucified on the cross, what it meant for us today in Christendom. I believe that there is a spiritual blindness that's going throughout the churches whereby people don't understand what God has made available to us. That's why we have to wait till every big name come in. That's why we need a prophecy every week. That's why we need to be greased up and down with oil every week. That's why we need people to stroke us and tell us we can make it, because we are blinded to what has been made available to us, which put him at a disadvantage, because he had to depend upon the kindness and the compassion of others. Now, please don't take this wrong, but take it right. That the church is the last place that I ever want to have to depend upon. Y'all looking evil, but I don't care. Come on, to have mercy and compassion, because one of the things that Satan has done a good job at is pulling a lot of that out of the church. And I hear saints all the time say, well, that's on them. Listen, whatever happened to the word of God when God says the same comfort whereby you have been comforted, comfort ye one another? Whatever happened to the scripture that said that how dwelleth the love of God in you? When you see your sister or your brother have need and you shut up your bowels of compassion. Whatever happened to the word that says overcome evil with good? Feed your enemy. If he's hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In so doing, you will heap coals of fire. That means God will put the pressure on him. But no, the church hasn't been practicing that, because we got to pay back. We've got to retaliate. And if we don't do it with our hands, we do it with our mouth. And I know this is rough, but you're going to be smiling after a while. But see, first, God is a God of balance. He's not here to make us feel good. Listen, the prophet does not speak what folk want to hear. He speaks what God is saying. And I'd rather for somebody to tell me that I need a man in my mouth than to get behind my back and say, girl, her breath smells. Hello, tell me the truth. If you are my friend, tell me the truth. Don't stroke me. Don't make me feel good in my sin. And see, that's one thing that children need to learn. How many parents in here? Let me see your hands. How many of you got teenagers? I want y'all down at the prayer line afterwards. We all can use some prayer up in here. Because I tell you something, out of all of the roles, Julie, that I've ever had in life, I find out that parenting is the most difficult. I love them, but it's difficult, because when they get to a certain age, you know, they know more than you do, and they don't understand that your love goes deep, and that you're just watching over them, trying to protect them. Come on here, parents. Well, yeah, you're scared of your kids, but you know what I'm saying. You're just trying to help them because you've made so many mistakes, and you want the best for them. You're not trying to run their life. You're not trying to take, but you just want them to go the right way, because you know the suffering and the pain of disobedience. And as much as we love them, they got to learn some things the hard way too. Yeah. That's for free. But Satan's coming to divide families. That's his goal. If he can tear the family up, he can tear the church up. I don't care how great we think our church is. Our church is nothing but a collection of homes. Come on, if the homes are all messed up, we can come here and tear the pews down and jump and kick and scream and holler and prophesy, do everything we want to. But if we can't go home and make that thing work, we are wasting our time. We are just going through spiritual aerobics. Come on. But this thing has got to come from here to out that door to in our home. And one of the things that God is saying, he sees everything. The Bible says that God's eyes go to and fro throughout the earth, and he beholds the good as well as the evil. And so the thing that God is looking at in every one of our lives is, how do we live when we leave this place? How do you treat your neighbor? Do you love your family? Come on. How do you conduct yourself on your job? How do you handle your affairs? Are you a person of integrity? Are you a person of character? What do you do when you're in a situation and you see a fine brother, sisters? And he's not yours. I told him this morning, and I'm going to tell you again, don't quit. Don't quit. Hang on. Stand firm. Stand tough. If God told you he's going to send you a man, you wait. Don't try to grab breath and britches. I tell you that all the time. Wait for a man, because the devil will send you some honey. You listen. You'll be glad to give him the sister sitting next to you. You better wait on God. Everything wearing the pants is not a man. You getting so desperate for the bedroom experience? Yes, I want this to go on TV. You want the bedroom experience so bad that you willing just to get her because she cute. Honey, if she don't belong totally to God, she ain't gonna belong totally to you either. You better wait and let God send you a godly woman. Somebody that know how to do more than paint their fingernails when you come home. Some of you ready to quit. That's just it. I'm just going to go ahead on and God will forgive me. Some of you getting tired. But I got a word for you. Do I need to say, yay, my children? Will y'all take it better then? Yay, my children. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season. You know what? And you don't have to raise your hand for this, but I can feel some of you in this place. Some of you, there's so much pressure on you now. You have been faithful. You have waited, and it seems like things are getting worse and worse. But you know what? The pressure is getting great because the blessing is at the door. And some of you have dealt with all those counterfeits. 9 times out of 10, the counterfeit comes before the real thing. God's got somebody that's going to love you for yourself. Come on, that's going to add to your life, not stress you out and make you wish that you had never heard of the word marriage. I better go back to blind Bartimaeus. Come on. But anyway, let me go back. I stayed on 46 and I went way out, but I'm coming back. He was begging. And what God is saying, that it is not his will that his children beg. It's not the will of the Lord. But look, verse 47 says, and when he heard, he couldn't see. But when he heard, how many of you know that the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? Come on. When he heard, oh, we're going to pick this thing apart. I love this. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to do what? Cry out. Can I give you a little tip? The reason why a lot of us are not getting our needs met, and we seem to stay in the same dilemma day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. You know why? Because we're crying out to the wrong people. He heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming through. And it says, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, that's just not just a statement, but you need to understand the context of that statement. And see, the Jews understood when they said, thou son of David, that was recognizing him as the Messiah. And so, even though this man was blind, but yet he had more sense than those that could see. Because he understood where his help was. And see, first of all, in order to get the help that you need to recognize that he is capable of meeting that need. And in order to understand that he can meet that need, you need to understand who he is. He didn't say, can you help me out? He said, Jesus, thou son of David. Otherwise, I recognize that you are God. And based on who you are, I am going to express my need to you, because I know all these other folk around me can't meet my need. So it's no sense of me whining and crying and calling everybody up in the church, because I understand that you are the Son of God. But what happened when this man understood that his deliverance was right there? What took place? It said, and many, say that word many. Now, if you don't mind marking in your Bible, I know some people don't like to do that, but if you mark in it, just circle that many. Because see, that's going to help you somewhere down the road in your walk with God. You know why? Because many is talking about people. The people that was around. The people that was there with Jesus and the disciples, all of them was there. Many. See, this is not just many. This is people. What did these people do to this man that was crying out to God? First of all, this man did the right thing from the beginning. He recognized who God was. And based on who God was, he knew that God could meet his need. And as a result, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. I looked it up in different translations. Some of them said they sternly warned him. Shut up. That's what it meant. Be silent. Now let me bring this thing where we live at. People all in this church got needs. People all over the world have needs. And you know, one of the things that I've learned about the enemy, he comes as an angel of light. And the Bible says even his ministers are transformed into angels of light. Now here this man has a need. He's blind. Where is the compassion? If anything, they should have said, yeah, that's Jesus. You know, he's healed many people. Maybe he can help you. That, you know what I'm saying? See, let me show you something. And I didn't say this in the first service, but God is helping me. Thank you, Holy Ghost. But there was another group of people in the Bible that talked about how this man was lame and how they just took the roof off and let him down. And remember, see, this is a different type of folk. Come on. You know what? They wasn't going to get something for themselves, but they had so much compassion. They were so concerned about this man's need that they was willing to be inconvenienced and come on and move things out of the way that was in the way. Come on, and we got to move the announcements. That's all right, because somebody got to get delivered. They was willing to move things around to see that need be met. But here we have a different mindset. We have a different type of a people. And I call them church folk. You know why? Because they was ready to rebuke something that they didn't understand. They was ready to rebuke something because it came in the middle of the praise and before the announcements. They was ready to rebuke something because they are not popular in the church. Who's that? But certainly if it's an elder, if it's me or somebody else, let's be real. Sure. Oh, I know it's tight. But we better understand that God's got a whole lot of them out here. And everybody is not well known as some others. But nevertheless, they're just as important. And they hear from God. And they speak the word of the Lord. And what God is saying, that we better fine tune our ears. And we better understand that God is speaking through whoever he will. He'll use a jackass if he wants to get his mission accomplished. Yes, he will. And see, the problem does not lie in it not being in order. The problem does not lie in it not being God speaking. The problem lies in is that we need to have our ears fine-tuned. So even if somebody's sitting there and they're not dressed in fine apparel. Oh, I'm going somewhere tight right now. You get paid next week, right? Okay. Yeah. If they don't look of a certain demeanor, maybe they don't speak eloquently. And don't put all the right verbs and vowels and, you know, say it all right. Can we hear the word of the Lord from them? Maybe they walk a little different than what we think they should. You know what I mean? You know, we all have different mannerisms and different personalities. And I'm finding out that most of the problems in the church has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the devil most of the time. It has a lot to do with our own self-righteous opinions of one another. Oh, I forgot about the camera, honey. I'm sorry. Let me go back over here. But anyway, one of the things, see, that's why they don't like to do this with me around the country. They got to run all over 2 and 3 cameras. But, you know, I'm me in God. And I want people to be set free from the religious bondages and traditions of men. I want people to understand that when God brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light, it didn't mean that you just stopped smoking and chewing and running out with the boys to do. It meant that there was an overflowing, an abundant life that God added to our lives, that we would not be moved by the circumstances of life, that we would not be depressed over everything that said we should be depressed, but we would come to a place of strength and power and authority and vision, knowing that we can speak to ourselves the word and encourage ourselves in the Lord, even as David did. God is saying to us this morning or this afternoon, don't quit. Some of you have been running real hard. You've been faithful. You've been doing everything, and it seems like things are getting worse. Don't quit. Don't quit. Here this man, okay, he's asking for God to, you know, heal me, heal me. And these people are talking about, be quiet, hold your peace. And see, folk will do that. They will tell you to shut up, you out of order. They will tell you, you ain't got no right saying that. And you know what amazes me? We got so many little gods in the church. How do you know whether I'm out of order? Because most of the time, we don't know anyway. That's why when something happens, we all start looking at each other. People look at me because they think I know. And I'm looking around trying to find somebody to see if they know. Come on, let's just humble ourselves in this place tonight. We all want to know what's God. But the truth is, sometimes we don't know. But we need to mature to the place where we don't be so quick to judge something that we don't understand. That's what I can draw out of just that. All that I can draw out of that little piece right there. They told him to shut up. But let's see what he did. See, some folk tell you to shut up in the church, and some of y'all still didn't shut up. They hurt my feelings, told me to shut up, so I ain't saying nothing else. Well, you a fool. Because if God tell, listen, I'll just keep on trying. And look, I see something in this passage. They told him to shut up, but it says he cried all the more. He was not going to allow man's opinion, man's ideas, man's listen here. He said, it don't make no difference. I'm going to keep on yelling because I know he's got what I need. Shut up. He said, no, I'm a cry. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Can you visualize this man? He's blind. So he can't see. He can only feel and sense. It's thou son of David. And they're probably looking at him, fool, sit down. You know how folk do, especially church folk. But he wasn't worried about that. He just cried, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. And what happened? This is what really is so powerful to me. And it says, and Jesus stood still. Come on here now. That's awesome to me. I preached it this morning, but I'm more excited about it now. Jesus, I mean, not too many folk can get him to stand still. Come on. Now, we read through the scriptures. When Jesus started his 3.5-year ministry, he healed many that were sick. He cast out devils. He provided food. He did all kinds of miracles, turned the water into wine. He did all kinds of things. But you don't see too many times where somebody really got his attention like that. We see where the centurion said, look, if you come and heal my servant, he said, just speak the word. Oh, Jesus marveled at that. Jesus marveled at unbelief, and he marveled at faith. But here this man is crying out. He's giving Jesus his due. And that's the problem with the church. We got to see him as Lord. We got to see him as all-compassing greatness, and everything that's to be desired is in God. We've got to give him his rightful place. And when we give him his rightful place, we don't buckle beneath the clouds of depression and frustration and like folk that don't have no hope, because you can stand up and say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It don't make no difference what's going on, because the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but honey, I don't care how much I'm suffering, because I know joy is coming in the morning. It doesn't make any difference what's happening to me, because I know that my Redeemer liveth. It don't make no difference what the devil is doing, because I know that God is so great and nothing can happen to me unless God gives his divine permission. And the Bible says that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Jesus stood still. And when he stood still, he commanded. And he said, bring him here. He said, call him. Now, and they, circle they, because they is the same many. Remember I told you, see, I'm trying to show you something. Come on, somebody gonna catch this thing in a minute. See, many is they. We're talking about the same church folk here. Come on. So the many that told him to shut up.
He's saying, shut up, excuse me. Saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he's calling you. Can we learn something out of that? Them same folk that are trying to get you to shut your mouth, you're out of order. Come on, and don't y'all bring this thing into the church service on Sunday morning. I know how people narrow their minds. I'm talking about our lives. When you know that you got a need and only God can meet that need, don't you let no devil in hell stop you. See, one of the things that's lacking in the church today is persistence. You got to be like that widow woman. Listen, she wearied that judge so much, and he said, look, I don't fear God and I don't fear man, but this woman is wearing me to death, so I've got to avenge her. We've got to have that spirit of tenacity that I'm a whole fast. It don't make no difference come what may. I'm going to hold on to the horns of the altar until you bless me, and I'm not going to let you go until you bless my soul. See, God was teaching us something in this passage. What he was teaching us is that don't listen to folk, because they and many will mess you up. Oh, I like that. They and many will mess you up. But what you got to do is you got to forget about they. You got to forget about many. And you got to say, listen, I know who you are. You are God. And I know that you can help me. And I'm coming for my help. It don't make no difference if they laugh at me. It don't make no difference if they mock me. It don't make no difference if they don't understand me. Because everybody does not understand your pursuit of God. And you ain't going to make everybody happy doing what God tell you to do. Come on. Glory to God. He stood still and said, bring them here. And they said, be of good comfort. Cheer up. After they done told him to shut up. Come on, cheer up. He calling you. But verse 50 said, and he casting away his garment. He casting away his garment. Sometimes we got to throw some things away before we can move into our deliverance. Come on here now. Because that coat represented who he was. Come on now. That coat represented that he was not somebody of royal blood. Come on. But he was somebody that was depending on folk to take care of him. Come on. He was a beggar. Come on here now. And whether we know it or not, but a lot of the clothing that they wore in those times represented who they were. And even in a lot of places now, it represents certain things. And so he had to cast away that thing. But when he went to Jesus, let's see what happened. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? What do you want me to do? Now, I did service, but I thought it was cute, so I'm going to repeat it again if you don't mind. Now, here this man standing here. Jesus. Jesus. And he's like, what you want me to do? What I want you to do? I think I want you to heal my eyes. That's what And when I read that, I said, well, Lord, why did you ask him? And he gave me two reasons. He said, the first, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Then the second reason, he said, the reason why I asked him what you want me to do is because even though that man's greatest need to him was that his sight be restored, but man's greatest need is not a physical healing. And because God is all wise, all knowing, he understands that the greatest need that man has is him. So that's why he gave him the opportunity to tell him what he wanted. He said that my, but you know what I love about Jesus? He knows that we're nothing but grass. He knows that we're just dust. And he said, I pity you like a father pitieth his children. He knows that our minds are finite and we can't think of all of the things. I mean, the Bible says, who hath counseled God? Who can give him instruction? And because God knows who he is and he knows who we are, based on that all-wise knowing God, he said, okay, I'm going to heal you. Look at this. He didn't rebuke him and say, now, Bartimaeus, I'm disappointed. I thought you was going to ask for a spiritual blessing. But isn't that the way we made to feel when we ask for certain things? That's why I keep telling people, stop running your mouth in the church telling people what you want in the natural. I want a man, because they talking about you. And don't get them and say, God told me next week I'm going to have a car, because they'd be laughing at you if you're still riding that car. Come on. Keep your, listen, Joseph learned that the hard way, didn't he? Sometimes it just pays to keep your mouth shut know that God has spoken a word to you and move on with it. Because one thing I've noticed about God, God does like to show off sometimes. Matter of fact, he likes to show out a lot. When God get ready to bless you, he don't do it in a corner. He knows how to do it openly so that everybody will know. He said, whatever we do in secret, he said, our Father will reward us openly. But what I love about this is that this man was tenacious. He held fast. He didn't quit. He held on. People was telling him to shut up. Hold your peace. Some of the translations said they just sternly rebuked him. But this man had his mind fixed to such a degree that he wasn't going to allow the opinions. I keep using that word because somebody's going to get the revelation in a minute. We allow the opinions of men to intimidate us sometimes. Come on. And what God is wanting his children to do is to have such a relationship with him and to be so secure in who we are and who we belong to and where we're going that when they and many start running their mouth, oh, y'all gonna remember they and many, ain't you? That we can be secure in our relationship and in our daily walk. I don't care who you are today, and I'm bringing it in soon because I want to pray. I don't care what you're dealing with today, but don't allow they and many to stop you from getting what you need from God. Do you hear what I'm saying? But I believe the reason, one of the reasons why Jesus did it, not because of the faith. He said your faith made you whole. But let's see what happened after he got healed. Let's see if he ran back to the bar. Let me see. Oh, it's quiet. Verse 52, the latter part, it says, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. See, because God knows everything, he knew that this wasn't just one of the ones for the fishes and the loaves. Come on. You know, some people, I mean, you know them from afar off. You know they're in it for what they can get. And then you got, I mean, look at it. Come on, Ruth. She said, where you go, I'm going. Your God will be my God. See, this was a woman that did not have a hidden agenda. Come on, she had a heart for God. And this is what God is looking for, people that's not in it for what they can get. You give $10, God gonna give you $100. That stuff makes me nauseated sometimes. I hate to say it, and I hope you're not offended. But you know what? Who gave you the money that you got? That's why a lot of folk ain't getting no money, because you're giving it to get money. You should be grateful that God has blessed you with health and strength, a sound mind to go out and make a decent living, and that you have something to give. I don't see anybody sitting in here naked today. You might not have on what you want, but you got clothes on. Come on, you have shoes on. Who do you think provided it for you? And sometimes we miss, I'm bringing this thing in, we miss the most important things on a daily basis because we're looking for the great and spectacular, and God is doing all the great little things. It's all the little things every day. When a bill that you was expecting to be $200 come for $40-something. Come on. When you know your tires should have been looking for a hair weave right about now because they so bald. Some of them don't understand what I'm saying. I need to stop talking slang because my friend sitting there like, I need to talk plain. Otherwise, you know, God has a way, Julie. That's what I was trying to say. When things should wear out and when it shouldn't last, that he can make it stretch. Because she's like, hair weave on a tire. What that got to do with? And see, I got to see her at the health club this week. She's going to ask me, what did you mean by the hair weave and the tire? So I figured I'd just cut that one short. She know I love her. But anyway, let me say this. God has a way of blessing us, but we're always looking for a check in the mail, something tangible. But what God is saying, look at the things that I do for you every day. Look at how I send people to your store when they can go to the other store. Hello. Look at the favor I give you. When they say, I ain't going to give it to you, but they got to give it to you anyway. Come on, somebody ought to have something to thank God for. When they say, I won't give you that job, but you get it anyway. When they say, you won't get that money, but you get it anyway. When they say, you won't be healed, but you're healed anyway. When they say, you're going to die. See, I tell people, not a devil in hell can kill you when God say live. Isn't that awesome? Oh, I'm sure all of us that have lived long enough understand that we go through some heavy pressures and trials in life. But God is saying to us this morning, very simple phrase, but yet profound. Don't quit. Because you know what? God has proven his faithfulness to us based on our faithfulness to him. Because see, Daniel was a man of undisturbed relationship. He made up in his mind that I'm only going to worship one God. It don't matter what all the other church folk do. I'm worshiping one God. And as a result, God honored him. When they threw the Hebrew boys up into the fiery furnace, they said, look, we just going to worship. Look, our God can deliver us, but if he don't, it's all right. But what happened as a result? Not only did they get promoted, they were honored and they were put in a high position. And not only that, the king said, look, anybody that don't worship their God, they're going to die. They're going to never. So what does that say to us? That says that sometimes we got to go through heated situations. Sometimes we got to go around things that seemingly appear to be like lions that's going to devour our very life. But God says, listen, if I've allowed you to be in that place, don't you doubt for one moment that my sovereignty and my omnipotence, I'm all powerful, that I can't allow the angels to stand guard. See, you know what? If God would open up our pew eyes and let us see the angels that walk with every one of us every day, the devils that would kill us. If God would, you know what, we'd die of a heart attack if we saw them angels walking with us. Everywhere you walk, honey, if you're still breathing and you belong to God, everywhere you walk, mercy and goodness. They're just following you everywhere you go. One on the right side, one on the left, and the devil's just saying, can I kill them? You can't kill them. Well, can I get the family start acting like fools? Yeah, you can do that because I'm still working some stuff out of them. Come on here now, but you can't kill them. Can I take their children? No, you can't take them. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, the devil trying to kill our kids, but he can't kill them. Because the Bible says the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And what I want to say to every child under the sound of my voice, I don't care whether your parents say things you don't like. I don't care whether they do things you don't like. But you need to understand one thing. They are your best friends. Because when you ain't got nothing, they're going to be there for you. You better remember that. We're going to be praying when everybody else is using you. But we'll be there when the axe fall. We'll be right there. Hallelujah. Don't quit. I don't care if you've got an age. Stop making excuses. I'm getting older. So what? Moses was 80. Caleb said, 40 years ago, God promised me this mountain. And not only can I take it, but I'm well able. God's looking for some well-able people. And you know where well-able comes from? It don't come from the mind. It don't come from the flesh. It comes from the spirit. Yes, I might not move as fast as I used to move. I might not jump as high as I used to jump. I might can't run all over the church. But honey, I got a faith that's going to stand through the storms of time, through the test of time. I might not be able to quote every scripture. I might not be able to say it as eloquent as you. But honey, when it all final, when the final word is said and done, the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will stand forever. Stand on your feet. God is looking for a people that's going to believe him, that's going to act like God told him the truth. It don't make no difference what the circumstances look like. We've got to understand that once the word of God comes out of God's mouth, it's an eternal fact. It doesn't change. God is awesome, and what he says shall come to pass. Give him some praise. God's looking for some women that had that same spirit of Esther. If I perish, let me perish. But honey, I got to see the king. God's looking for some Deborahs. Glory to God. Women full of faith, not moved by the 900 iron chariots of the enemy, but said, God said that we're going to take this thing. And if God said it, I believe it. And it go Barak. Well, listen, I believe it too, but you going with me if I go. And see, that's God was trying to show us. Oh, I got to say this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God was trying to show us what the end time church was going to be like. Write this in your book because it's prophetic. We have been trying to divide this thing from the beginning of time ever since we misunderstood a woman should be silent. Yeah, I'm going down this street and I hope it's still being taped. But the bottom line is God's final church is going to be the church where Barak and Deborah lock arms together and they march into this battle together, because whether men like it or not, God has called the woman to work with the man, and we can teach doctrine, we can teach the word of God, and we can flow in signs and miracles and wonders like everybody else. This is not a man against a woman thing. It is a God thing. And God is going to express himself in the male and the female. And anything says otherwise is a spirit of heresy. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't change. And we need to be careful some of the things that we say, because everybody's not mature enough to understand that you in error sometime. God is raising up men and women together to use to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are to honor one another, not to compete, but to complete one another and to work together for the common cause of promoting Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to give him a hand like you love him right now, and let's give him some praise. Glory to God. God's getting ready to do something awesome. I wish you could see what I see. That last day that Joel was talking about, we're living in it right now. He said, well, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Female flesh and male flesh and black flesh and white flesh and red flesh. Come on, you might not like it, baby, but God is using people of all nations and all creeds and all tongues. God's not going to have no lopsided church. He's going to have a complete church, and it's going to take more than just one culture, if you will, to express who he is. God's going to use every one of us right where we are. And let me tell you something before I close my mouth. I don't care who you think you're not, but understand something. If the Spirit of the living God is in you, then you better start studying your word and getting ready, because God's going to use all of us. It's going to take more than just some one person. God wants to use every one of us. You think you've been studying all these years just to sit back and say, well, I'm just shy. That's nice. But you coming out of your shyness, because souls are dying and going to hell. You coming out of your shyness. You think you got all that word and you can quote the scriptures while I'm quoting them? You ain't got that for nothing, baby. God's going to use you. He's got a people that he's preparing for you. Bow your heads. God, you have seen everything from the beginning of time. Before time was ever in existence, God, you know everything. And Father, we're going to be honest with you this morning and tell you, oh, come on, choir, I'm sorry. We're going to be honest with you and tell you that there have been times we've gotten weary. Oh, I've gotten weary. I guess a few of them have. I don't hear them saying it, Lord, but I guess we have. We've gotten weary. We've gotten tired. We've had our struggles and frustrations. But in the midst of it all, you've brought us through. That's why we're standing here today. We've asked for you to heal us, and you've done it. We've asked for you to meet our needs, and you've done it. We've asked for you to help our families, and you've done it. And you're yet still showing yourself to be as great as we know that you are. And so today, Father, I'm asking right now, without touching anyone, I want to ask you, Father, will you right now, at this very moment, begin to touch people all over this congregation with a supernatural touch of strength right now for the journey, God. Some are tired, some are weary, some are frustrated, but Father, would you stretch out your nail-scarred hand right now and just begin to encourage them and let them know that they don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. God, you know and you understand, and the wonderful thing about you, God, is that you care. You don't just understand, but you care. You care about every tear that we cry. You care about every heartache that we experience. You care about our lonely moments and our frustrations and our disappointments. God, you care.
And based on that, Father, we come to you in the spirit of humility. And we ask that you would strengthen us and encourage us and give us wisdom, divine wisdom and godly and skillful wisdom. Discretion, understanding, and above all things, God, let your peace rule and reign in our hearts, because we know that you said in your word in Philippians 4:6 to be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to let our requests be made known unto you, and the peace of God that surpasses understanding, it goes beyond what our minds can conceive, will keep our hearts, and we need our hearts to be kept today, Lord. It will keep our minds. We need our minds to be kept through Christ Jesus. And so right now, Father, I'm asking that a spirit of peace begin to go throughout this room, and that people will come to know that it doesn't make any difference what's taking place, but you are still God, and you still rule and reign in the affairs of men. Thank you, Lord. And with every head bow and every eye closed, I would like to ask right now in this place, Robert, go ahead. You can. Is there someone here today that would say, Sister Mitchell, I've been going to church for a while, but